The title of the message is The Point of No Return. And I kept hearing this song this week over and over again. How many remember the song by Kansas? How long to the point of no return, right? And it kept coming back to me. And I was prompted because I was thinking about America. I was thinking about the church. I was thinking about things that are happening in people's lives. And then this song would come to me and I would be prompted. I'd be reminded of the message. And by the way, I think it was the lead singer from Kansas? He got born again. Carrie Lifgren. Yeah, actually got saved. And those guys, you can tell they were kind of hitting on close to the kingdom when they were doing some of their stuff, you know. But how long to the point of no return? And the reason why I think we need to really think about this is because, as you know, our God is so gracious. He's so merciful. He's so compassionate. He's so kind. And he's not willing, as you know, that anyone should perish. But God has a limit to his mercy, a limit to his grace. God has a set time for judgment. And I think often people feel like I've got time to do my thing. And then maybe later on or on my deathbed, I'll repent and I'll get right with the man upstairs. Well, rarely does that happen because you and I are given a certain window of opportunity to repent. Amen. A certain time when we can repent while we're still able to repent, because God is extending the invitation and he's allowing us to come to him. Are you hearing me? And we're living in that time right now of God's favor, of God's grace. Amen. But the time of grace will someday end. And it'll be the time of his judgment and his wrath. Life is found in the Spirit of God. So when God is no longer striving with a person or even a society, death is the result. I believe America can be saved. America can be turned around. We are standing in the gap. We are believing for an awakening. Amen. And that people in this nation will realize that life is vain without God, that we cannot do this without God. We cannot save this nation or save anyone without the Lord. Amen. And that we will, as a body, as the people of God, as a church in America, will turn back to God. Amen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, right? And do what? Right. Seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Then what? I will hear from heaven. As 2 Chronicles 7:14. So I believe that God is still striving with America, and he's certainly striving with individuals when we talk about America. Amen. God wants nations to be discipled. He wants nations to be saved. Amen. But nations are people groups. You know, there is a body of Christ in America made up of all kinds of tribes and tongues and nations, right? And God wants variety, amen? He created everything, and he likes variety. But his body's made up of all kinds of people from different backgrounds and different, you know, cultures. But we need to understand something, that when we come to Christ, amen, we transition from this world into, amen, a new world, hallelujah, from an old life into a new life. We transition from death into life, right? Out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And once we step into the light of God, amen, then we can see clearly. Then we can know what is true, what is authentic. Hallelujah. God gives us the ability to see clearly. But if a person refuses to heed or listen to the voice of God, and they continue to do so, there does come a day when God finishes with that person, when he's finished with that person. And how long to the point of no return? We don't know that. Only God knows that. So a person who's been born again or regenerated by Christ, all right, is alive, spiritually alive. But if a person has not been born again or regenerated, they may have soul life. They may be animated, but they don't have a spiritual connection to their maker. Amen. They have soul life, but they don't have spiritual life. True spiritual life, amen, is to be connected to God, our Father, who is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what we're looking at on the outside is our earth suit, right? But who we are, we live inside this earth suit. All right? And that's the part that God's most interested in, is that he wants to redeem the soul of mankind. And that's why Jesus went all the way to the cross on our behalf. Amen? So we could be saved. You know, in John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we need to understand the heart of God. Amen? It's not to condemn, but he wants to save. In verse 18, it says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So even though our God is long-suffering, he's merciful, he's also just. He's a God of justice. And as a just judge, he must exact, all right, exact punishment for the crime. If a earthly judge is a merciful or a gracious judge, they would not give the offender exactly what they deserved. But they would show leniency in their punishment. Are you hearing me, somebody? Aren't you glad that we don't get exactly what we deserve when we sin against God? But there is something that we need to consider here, is that the mercy of God will be extended to the repentant, but not to the unrepentant. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. In the days of Noah, in Genesis 6 and verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God has a limit to his patience and to his grace. Now we know in Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God what is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So people who are wise prepare themselves for the future. People who are wise prepare themselves for the future. They just don't live for the moment, but they're thinking ahead. People who achieve anything in this world are people who are visionary and who prepare, amen, to reach a certain goal or objective. And so God has opened the door, the window of heaven for us, and invites us to partner with him. And all that we have need of, amen, that pertains to life and godliness is given freely to us in Christ Jesus. So we're without excuse. Why? Because God is pouring out his spirit. Even in this hour, God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. I believe it. The problem is that some people are resisting the spirit of God. Proverbs 27:12 says, "A prudent or cunning man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple," the word simple means silly or foolish, "pass on and are punished." They're not paying attention. You know, one of the things that we seem to be lacking today, and at least in some cases in America, is the critical thinking skill. To start to write, to think things through, and not just accept things as you hear them as if they're truth. But we do need to examine what we're hearing, all right? We have to have some critical thinking, all right? Now, I know there are certain people that don't want you to think critically. They just want you to accept everything as it comes. Just be an obedient sheep and do whatever we tell you. Because we know what's better for you than you know what's better for you. So in Genesis 3, again, 6 and 3, it implies that God's spirit does strive with man. And verse 3 said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." So God is striving with man. But the truth is that men resist the spirit of God. And there is a point of no return. The word strive means to contend or to plead the cause of. So God actually contends with us. He pleads our cause. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want people to perish. Amen. Aren't you glad that he was patient with us? So how can we know when the Spirit of God is striving with us? How do you know that? Well, the first thing is we need to become aware that we're lost and we cannot save ourselves. When the Holy Spirit begins to deal with a sinner, amen, we become aware that we're lost. First thing, first step, is if you don't know that you're lost, you can't be saved. You see, sometimes people are being given the solution before they've known they've had the problem. Another way God strives with us is he convicts us. He convinces us, right, of our sinfulness and our need of cleansing. Basically, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the fact that we need Jesus. We need him. We can't do this without him. You can't live without God. Why? Because God is our life. There is no life outside of the Spirit of God. Amen. There's no spiritual life, no eternal life. So why does God's Spirit cease striving with man? Why does God stop striving with man? Because longer striving will do the sinner no good. We're responsible for what we know. Did you know that? We're responsible for what we know. You know, even when Paul spoke of persecuting the church, he said, "I did it in ignorance." Okay, because he didn't realize, he thought he was actually doing God's work when he was actually doing the devil's work. And so he had to come to a place where he realized that what I did in ignorance was wrong. It was still wrong, but he did it in ignorance. You know, Jesus said to them that knew their master's will and did nothing will be beaten with more stripes than those who didn't. So we are responsible for what we know. And why does God's Spirit cease striving with man? Because people sin willfully every time they resist the Spirit. You understand? It's a sin to resist the Spirit of God. And because there is a set time for God's judgment, even as in Sodom and Gomorrah. Guys, I believe that because of God's mercy, he doesn't always strive. Because the more that we knew, the more responsible we'll be in that day. That does not mean that we are willfully ignorant, because that's also a decision we make that is in rebellion to what the Spirit wants. Come on, somebody. So what are the consequences of resisting the Spirit of God? A hardened heart is the first. A hardened heart. A person with a hardened heart is in a dangerous place because they are no longer receptive to receive from the Lord. They're likened to the stony ground that Jesus spoke about. The seed cannot penetrate any longer. There's no entrance of the seed or the word of God because they have resisted the Spirit of God and they have become insensitive. They become calloused to the things of God. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? That God strives, he contends with us and gives us opportunity to repent. But if we continue, even as they did in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, to reject the Spirit of God, to resist the Spirit of God, to heed the counsel of God, then God sets the judgment. And there comes a time when those who had been reproved but continued to resist the Word of God will be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. That's the Word of God. And a person with a hardened heart, again, they're in a dangerous place. Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." It's not that people didn't know God or have some understanding of God. It's because they did not want to receive God or retain him in their knowledge. So what happened? God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. The New Living Translation says, "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done." In other words, God has allowed you to make a decision who you will obey. You have a free will to choose. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So what's another consequence of resisting the Spirit of God? A seared conscience. A seared conscience. The word seared means rendered insensitive, an insensitive conscience. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." I think we're seeing that happen. "Giving heed to seducing spirits," or deceiving spirits, "and doctrines of demons. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." But the most serious consequence of resisting the Spirit of God is eternal damnation. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "The coming of the lawless one," this is speaking of the Antichrist, "is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish." Why? "Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Verse 11, "And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had" what? "Pleasure in unrighteousness." So those who continue to resist the Lord will face His severe judgment someday. Don't let your heart be hardened. If you can hear His voice still today, heed, listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the grace. Listen to the merciful Father calling you, amen, out of darkness into His light, out of the world and into His kingdom, amen? Because God is a just judge. He's fair. Well, we could use a few just judges in America today. But there's consequences for our actions. And though the price for sins has been paid in full by Jesus, amen, how many know that forgiveness is hinged on repentance? Forgiveness is hinged on repentance. Just attending church and acknowledging Jesus as Lord doesn't necessarily mean that the person is repentant or even born again. Amen. You have to come to the end of yourself. You have to come to the place where you know you're lost, you're sinful, you can't save yourself, and all you can do is throw yourself down at the mercy of Jesus. Amen. You need to be like the man that beat his brow and said, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He knew he was lost, and he knew the only hope was that the Lord would be merciful to him. This is the beginning. This is where it starts, guys, is at the place of "I changed my mind. I was going this direction. I'm going the opposite direction now. I was living for Satan and the world. Now I'm living for Jesus and His kingdom." Amen. I have repented. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not going to be like Lot's wife who began but then looked back. Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Consider the great mercy of God that He would strive with us at all. Think of the cross. Think of His passion. Think of what Jesus endured for us on the cross. Because He loved us that much. Because He wanted us to be set free from the power of sin and be brought into sonship. Amen. Become a child of His. And in Hebrews 3 and verse 7 it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, I have witnessed people who have become gospel hardened." They've heard that. They could quote scripture. They could tell you what the gospel is. But they become calloused, insensitive, and hardened because they continue to resist the Spirit of the Lord. And I think in some cases, I've heard it said this way, sometimes people are getting enough gospel to be inoculated from getting the real Jesus. They've been told that things are okay when it's not. And a lot of times what we can do, if we're not careful, is just justify what we do. Make excuses for it rather than repent. We can just say, "Well, it isn't that bad," or "other people are doing it," or "God, I would understand, like I have some special arrangement with God that it's okay with all this." That's why the Bible says, "Do not be wise in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now in Luke chapter 13, in verse 1, "About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee. as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. And do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked, is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. Repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. What was Jesus saying? He's saying basically to the self-righteous that you're all sinful. It's not about how much or how little. It's that you all need to realize that you've sinned. And just because something happens to a person that may be bad doesn't necessarily even mean that they were sinful. And that's why they were, you know, they're being punished for something. Remember, we talked about last week about God is good. God is good all the time. You know, God is good when everything is going my way. And God is good when things aren't going my way. God is still good because he doesn't change. That's his nature, his character. God is good. So sometimes we think, well, if somebody's going through a real hard time, there must be sin in their life. Now, it could be due to sin, but not always. Let's leave the judgment up to God on that one, all right? Because before the Lord we stand or we fall. We are his servants. We belong to him. What we want to do is help a brother or sister, amen, that's struggling and going through something. Come along, instead of kick them while they're down, let's help them up. Because we love. We love you with the love of the Lord. Therefore, we're not going to allow you to play in traffic, all right? If we see you sinking in the ocean, we're going to throw you a lifesaver. Hey, call out to Jesus. Turn back. Jesus was saying that everyone must fully repent of their sins and turn to God and to be saved. And I want to say this again, guys. The grace that we give ourselves cannot save us. We cannot justify ourselves. And we try. We do that by comparing. Well, I'm not as bad as that person. But when Jesus showed up and he started speaking to people, he started exposing their hearts and the motivations of their hearts. Externally, they may appear to be righteous, but God sees the heart. You may be able to fake it out with people, but you can't with God. Amen. He sees it all. So how many know it's good to have a heart that's clean? Amen. A conscience that's clear. Hallelujah. And have peace with God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're born again today, if you're saved, if the Spirit of God is in you, you'd be miserable when you try to wander away. Amen. God is merciful and he's good to his sons and his daughters. Amen. Sometimes what we think is not very good is actually good for us. Difficulty can produce inner strength. Trials, all right, are necessary for us. Difficulties, tests are necessary for promotion. Amen. So God is going to allow some stuff to happen, not because he's cruel, but because he needs to get us to a place where we can be blessed. And because God doesn't bless a mess unless that mess is willing to give that mess over to him who can fix it. Amen. He's the potter. We're the clay. We've got to be pliable in his hands. We've got to be heeding and listening to the voice, the counsel of the Lord in order to be successful and to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. We've got to listen to what God says and what God promises in his word. So we need to be careful to listen to the word of God. Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, who is that? Is Moses, talking about Moses, right? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Why do people go to hell? How many believe hell is a real place? You know it. Jesus spoke more of hell than he did heaven. People go to hell, listen, because they refuse to listen to the voice of the one who speaks from heaven. Because they resist the Spirit of God. They refuse to repent. We've been studying in the book of Revelation, and it's just mind-boggling how through all the judgments and the severe things that are happening on the earth, and we're just beginning to see that, aren't we? More and more prevalent. How some people are turning to the Lord, but some people are hardening their hearts instead. Some people are mad at God. They're blaming God for all their problems. And the enemy has got them trapped into that thinking because they don't understand the true nature and the character of God. How much does God love me? He demonstrated it for me in the cross. When I was still in sin, Jesus went to that cross for me. He loved me that much. And so God is good even when I'm not. Amen. And God is good even when things don't go the way I expect them to go. Because that's just who he is. And when the more we get to know God, the more you get to know he really is good. It's not just some cliche. But God is good all the time. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Why did Noah find grace? Because he listened to God. He obeyed his warning. And so by Noah's actions, hear me, he demonstrated his faith in God was genuine. Amen. So it's possible to be convicted by the Spirit of the Lord, even repetitively, but never be converted. You can be convicted, but not converted. You can be aware that you've failed, that you've sinned, that you've blown it, but never converted. You see, Judas tried to undo his sin himself. He went out and hung himself. David knew he was sin. He had sinned. He was broken over it. He couldn't rest day or night because his conscience was eating him alive. But David had a repentant heart towards God. David loved the Lord and he was grieved that he had grieved the one he loved. And coming to God, we should understand that he loves us so much and he's a loving father and he wants what's best for us. And when we do things that we know he disapproves of, we grieve his heart. We grieve the Spirit of the Lord and we are not to grieve the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Because God loves us. And you don't want to grieve the ones you love. Do you love Jesus today? You can tell those who love Jesus by the way they live their lives. They obey him. Again, Noah found grace because he obeyed the warning of the Lord. He and his family were saved. But it's possible, guys, to be convicted but not converted. And when God stops striving with a person, they're in serious trouble. I wonder how many of even some of our politicians today have gone over that line where they've been completely turned over to a reprobate mind. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for all men. Amen. Pray for one another. And don't quit. Don't give up. God is still striving with America. But how much longer, we don't know. I do know that you and I have been given the authorization in Jesus' name to effect change that can turn this whole situation around if we, amen, would first of all repent towards God. Get things settled, amen, get things right. All right? How do you do that? Well, you've got to renounce, amen, your ways that are in defiance to what God wants. You got to quit resisting the Spirit of the Lord and start heeding, start listening to his voice, start doing what he tells you to do. Why? Because God has something good for you. And he's trying to bless your life. God loves to bless his children, just like we love to bless our children. So God has to get us into a place where we can be blessed. And it's called chastisement, discipline. God has to discipline us at times to get us into a position where he can once again bless us, because he doesn't bless the mess, guys. If we're rebelling against him, we're refusing to heed his voice, to resist his spirit, God's not going to pour out his grace on that, because that's pride. Amen? That's rebellion. God doesn't bless that. But if you're willing to heed his voice and repent and turn to God and surrender to him, God can turn that mess into a blessing. Amen? Again, forgiveness is hinged on repentance. And I mentioned this, but in Revelation chapter 9, one of the characteristics of the end time is that people will refuse to repent. They'll refuse to repent of their demon worship, their idolatry, their murders, their sorcery, their witchcraft, drugs, really, sexual immorality, stealing. I run into people, I talk to people, who they want God, they say they want God, but they're not willing to let go of their other gods to do so. And so they always keep that God on standby in case they feel that God is not capable of helping them sufficiently. Then they can always go back and get high again, or whatever it is, whatever the vice is. How many know that's not repentance? Repentance is coming to the end of yourself, coming to the place where you're done. Amen. There's no going back. You burned the boat. Amen. You burned out the bridge. There's no bridge to go back over. The problem that keeps so many people bound is that they still hold on to certain things that God says, let it go. You want to be free? Let it go. Trust me. I will fulfill you. I will satisfy that deepest longing of your heart. That which you're trying to fill with these other things that only lead to your destruction, I will fill, amen, with my life, resulting in eternal fruit, amen. People will harden their hearts towards God. Therefore, again, in verse 7, Hebrews 3 and verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The day of grace is running out. Today is the day of salvation, healing, deliverance. So see that you do not refuse him who speaks to you from heaven. I'm going to just finish with this. I was thinking about a friend of mine from years ago, recently, that I played in the band with. He was our lead singer. And we did a lot of things together, a lot of life together, experiences together, families, we knew each other. Judy was just a little tyke at that time. But I, at that time, I got saved. I got born again. Radically, so. And I didn't quit the band right away, even though we were doing a lot of, you know, just worldly music, and some of it was pretty dark. Sabbath and all that kind of stuff, you know, Zeppelin. I didn't quit right away. I just still went back, but the Lord began to deal with me, and I couldn't help but talk about Jesus with everybody, because I was so excited about the new life I had, the joy I had, and how good God was, and I wanted everybody to know. Come on, somebody. So I was sharing Jesus with these guys, and, you know, they just started freaking out. But I know through a series of events, one of them ended up having to stay with me because his wife got him kicked out. Yeah, restraining order. That was the kind of guys I used to hang out with, you know. But you know what? I was like, we got a captive audience. And I meant well. I didn't have a lot of wisdom, but God still worked through me, you know. And I kept talking. His name was Steve. I kept talking to him about the Lord and how good he was, and he wants to forgive, and he wants to give him a new life and a new beginning. And well, Steve had made a commitment to the Lord. Steve even got filled with the Spirit where he was speaking in tongues. And one thing led to another, and we kind of parted our ways. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. Our bass player also got saved, but then he passed away about, 15, 20 years ago. But recently I began to think about him. I said, I wonder if I could find him or locate him. So I went online, and I typed in his name because he has an unusual last name. And I found something, and I could tell by the picture it was him. He was in a band. The name of the band was Moonshine Nirvana. Moonshine Nirvana. And I also realized as I was scrolling down that there was an obituary. And if you know, in Buddhism, Nirvana is their heaven. It's a counterfeit, but it's what they consider, they believe through meditation and practice certain practices that you can reach Nirvana, this enlightened state. Well, when I read his obituary, it broke my heart. Because he was talking about going to Nirvana. So it was more than just a catchy name. It was, he had fallen into that. I don't know. What am I saying? We need to beware. Okay. The Bible says, we just read it, 1 Timothy 4, that some will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And there's a mixture now of Christianity with all the other religions. It's a very popular thing. It's starting to get more and more steam. And I believe it will be the religion of the Antichrist. It's all Antichrist. Because whenever you take away the deed of Christ and you equate Jesus with just the rest of these so-called prophets, okay, you're operating in a counterfeit. And it's the spirit of anti in place or against Christ. And so you and I, first of all, God wants his church, amen, to get back to their first love. Amen. Rediscover that first love again. Do the things that we were, amen, called to and that we were fulfilled in. Amen. To serve. We've been called to serve. Amen. But also to reach out to people around us that are perishing. Amen. With a message of hope. That there's hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. If a person is willing to come to the cross and acknowledge that they're a sinner, that they can't save themselves, to call on Jesus, they can be saved. They can be delivered. Amen. Because now we have still an opportunity to reach the lost. But how much longer? How long? To the point of no return. To where a person no longer has that option. God is no longer striving with an individual or even a society. Guys, we need to realize that this is not something that we should be sleeping on. We should be awake. We should be spiritually awake. We should be praying more than ever. We should be seeking God, calling on him, amen, to intervene in America, that God will liberate us, that he'll set us free, amen, from this stuff that we're in right now. God is wanting to save America. God is wanting to bring America back. Amen. And I believe that if we will do the right thing as his people, as the salt, as the light, as his ambassadors, that we can turn it around. I'm not adopting this mentality. It's just too far gone. I might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That is the world. That is the devil. Amen. God wants his people to be revived. Hallelujah. He wants to see people saved, healed, delivered. Amen. And we have to be alive first. We cannot be salt and light unless we're salty, amen, and lit up for Jesus. So don't resist the Spirit of God. God's wanting to come in and fill you up, amen, and empower you and enable you to be a bold witness for Jesus, to bear the fruit of his Spirit, hallelujah, in this world. Well, people say there's more to you than just you. There's someone greater in this person. There's a greater power in this person. We know what that power is. Amen. It's the power of the Most High God. Power of the Holy Spirit. God on earth. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let us return. Let us return. Let us take seriously, amen, the Word of God. The Lord wants us to tremble at His Word. He wants us to take Him seriously. The Lord wants us to fear Him in that sense. Now, you've heard the Word today. We've heard the message. We can say that was a good message and we can go our way and do nothing with it. Or we can say, Lord, I'm asking You now to give me the grace to live what I've just heard before the world and to be an example for others and to be an effective witness for You. But in order to be a witness for Jesus, in order to be able to open your mouth and really give Him praise again, hallelujah, you got to be set free from you. God wants to liberate you. God wants to set your soul free. When a prisoner has been locked up for years in a POW camp and they've been released, do you think they're just going to be casual about that release? They're going to be excited. They're going to be leaping for joy. They're going to be celebrating because they were bound, but now they're free. God wants His people to be free. Yes. Hallelujah. To rejoice in our salvation, to rejoice in our God. And we've got to get over ourselves to do that. We've got to get over the opinions of others to do that. To where I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to get my ugly praise on. I'm going to give the Lord my best. Hallelujah. Whether it's popular with people or not, I'm going to obey the Lord. The Lord's looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. And what we're called to do requires the power of God. So we need to realize that and we need to come to God, amen, empty and say, Lord, fill me up. Lord, give me the grace, give me the strength to do what I'm called to do. Hallelujah. Because I know without You, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through grace. Amen. Through Christ who gives me the grace to do it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. So let's just lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to Your name, Lord. Father, we bless You. We praise You. We thank You. Lord, we exalt You. Have Your way. Father, we pray Your kingdom come and Your will be done in each one of us today. Each life here today, Father. God, we ask You, hallelujah, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we ask You to fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask You to clothe us in Your full armor. Hallelujah. God, we ask You to give us holy boldness, holy passion to glorify You in the earth. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Every knee will bow to You. Every tongue will confess You. Jesus, You are Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Lord. Jesus is the Lord of all. And every knee will bow of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those things under the earth. Every tongue will confess. Hallelujah. I know that there's some of us here today that God's been pulling on your heart today. Let me encourage you not to resist His Spirit any longer. You don't know if you have another day. None of us know that. But we have been given this day. And a wise person will prepare for their future. Turn to the Lord. He's the only hope. As we sang that song years ago, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. People need to know Jesus is the way. And as you and I walk in that way with Him, and we walk in the authority that He's given us and in the power of His Spirit, amen, we will bear witness to the fact that Jesus is risen, that He is alive. We serve a risen Savior, amen. Hallelujah. The world needs to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.